In our reading from 1 Corinthians, Paul encourages us through this wilderness journey of ours, through what for us is a Lenten journey at this time. He reminds us of the story of the Israelites, how they spent 40 years wandering through the desert. It was their sin that held them back and delayed them, time after time. Nevertheless, God faithfully brings them safely into the promised land. Paul encourages us by their example not to let sin hold us captive. In this case, we can be our own worst enemies. We let the temptations of this world lure us away from a faithful walk with God. We become prisoners of our own sinful appetites, just as the Israelites did. I call it encouragement because Paul is not talking about sin in order to increase our guilt or our shame or our despair. He's talking about sin so that nothing will hold us back in living our lives for God. God wants us to live our lives unhindered, unshackled, and free. He wants us to move forward in a way that is best for us and for those that come across our paths. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone, Paul writes. In other words, your struggle is not alone. How does the saying go? Misery loves company. We're all in this struggle together. One thing that might be holding us back is the deceptive idea that I'm the only one with this struggle. It may be a deep and dark secret that we have that no one knows but ourselves. We may think that it is so rare that we are the only ones with this particular struggle. Thanks be to God, that's a lie and a deception and something that can hold us back. The temptation here is to think that there's no way that you and I can be free. No way that we can be free because our struggle is so unique. We're broken goods. We've passed the point of no return. No, Paul says. No, your struggle and my struggle is universal. The troubling news is that we all have something in our lives, something that keeps tripping us up. We all have something that's holding us back. It's the normal Christian life to battle sin in our lives. In fact, if we're not battling sin, Paul says that's a problem. We're in the battle against sin in our lives because we are so overtaken by it. When we don't battle against sin, we're so overtaken by sin that we don't realize its deceptive hold if we don't think we have a problem. That's why Jesus says, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Because he understood not only the power, but also the deception of sin. In fact, the word forgive in the New Testament Greek, is the word loose. To forgive is to set one free from the destructive power in sin, not just its consequences. To be forgiven means that God sets us loose to live our lives in love for him and for one another. What's holding you back? There is something holding us back, holding you and me back from moving forward in this life with greater freedom, greater joy, greater godliness, greater peace, greater love, greater fruit of the Spirit. Something has a stranglehold on our lives, Paul tells us. This is the common human struggle, the normal Christian life, to humbly and soberly acknowledge the shackles and chains around our ankles and around our wrists, the things that are holding us back. Just as Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I often remind myself and you that sin is not just the bad things that we do. It's not just the good we fail to do. Sin is the power that seduces us. Sin is what enslaves us and wants to hold us captive and be its prisoners. Sin wants to deceive us and live lives of addiction. Sin wants us to repeat destructive cycles in our lives over and over again. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Did you notice the us? We're all in this together. Jesus knew that as long as we are still on this side of eternity, evil and sin will continue to threaten our freedom to walk with God in joy and peace. A few months ago, Pope Francis suggested that we change the wording of the Lord's Prayer to better reflect its true meaning, from "Lord, lead us not into temptation" to "Do not let me fall into temptation." He said, because it is I who fall. It's not God who throws me into temptation and then sees how I fell. A father does not do that. A father helps you get up immediately. A father helps you move in freedom from those things that are holding you back. Now, I don't believe it's necessary that we change the wording of the Lord's Prayer, but I like his point. God is our Heavenly Father who wants what is best for us. He wants us to live lives that are fruitful and joyful. God is faithful, Paul says. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but with the testing will also provide the way out, so that you may be able to endure it. God is faithful, even when we are not. God is faithful. He's good all the time. All the time, God is good. We don't look at ourselves for strength to battle sin in our lives. We look to the one who is faithful, to God, the one who's in our corner, the one who's helping us in the fight, cheering us on, the one giving us strength for the journey ahead, the one who provides a way out of our temptation. That is why we are bold when we pray. This passage is, if nothing else, an encouragement for us to pray boldly, because we're holding God to his word when we pray. We're praying his promises. If God promises that we will not be tested beyond what we are able to endure, we then lay hold of that promise for him to give us strength. If God promises that there is a way out of our temptation, a way to safely move forward, a way to more joyfully move forward, then we are bold to pray, and we have every right to pray that God will keep his word in my life and in yours. God, you say that you will not allow temptation to be so overwhelming that I will not be able to have the strength to endure it. That's what you promise. Give me that strength and perseverance I need not to succumb to evil and sin. God, you say that you will provide the way out, a way of escape from the clutches and deception of sin. Help me see it and recognize it in my lives. Help me when the way to freedom opens to see it, to walk through it, that I might be set free from despair and bondage. We look to the cross of Calvary as the way out. That's where Jesus endured his final temptation, on the cross. It's where he overcame sin, evil, and even death itself. In his resurrection, he led a host of captives free. He opened the door to eternal life. There is a way out, and his name is Jesus. God the Father has provided that way through the person and work of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you and I bold enough to pray for that? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.